leading us to the throne of grace. Yes. Prayer is always in order. Yes. Amen. We're grateful to the Lord for giving us the opportunity to be in this place to stand before you.
Amen.
We don't think we've been that good. Neither have we been that slick.
All right.
But God has been merciful and kind to each of us. Amen. If there's anybody here that thinks you're here by your own merit, you're sadly mistaken. I would even go as far as to say that you're deluded in your thinking. Amen. It's only about the goodness of God that we're able to assemble in this place. Amen. Amen. We're not going to tarry long. Amen. We understand that your time is important. Amen. And your attention span is limited. Amen. Can't take too much more than 25 or 30 minutes. I understand that. I've learned that from experience. Amen. I don't want you to tune me out too quick, so I won't be long. But there's a word we'll share with you today. Amen. From the Gospel according to St. Luke.
Amen.
The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. We excavate this verse from the responsive reading. And when you have that, say amen. Verse number 10.
Amen.
For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
Amen. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. I want to talk about four big words of Christ. Four big words of Christ. I'm glad you asked, Mr. Brinkley. Come, seek, save, and lost.
All right.
Amen. Four big words of Christ. This is basically pillar number 5 of God's agenda.
All right.
That we have established for our church, and that is servanthood, that we ought to be servants. Amen.
Amen.
I know that we don't like to serve, but we like to be served. Amen.
Amen.
We think our importance is determined by the fact that we are seated and others are serving us.
Amen.
Amen. But Amen. Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for me.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
Christ epitomized this. The servant spirit. Amen. And I hear in the recesses of my mind that old song that says, I want to be like Jesus.
Yes, sir.
In my heart. Amen. And many of us would concur that we want to be like Jesus.
Yeah, huh?
Until it calls upon us to do something that takes us out of our comfort zone.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Servanthood is one of those things that we find to be uncomfortable.
You're right.
Amen. But our text today contains, as I said, four big words. Amen. Being not in the length of the words or the letters of the word, but big words, big in meaning, big in suggestiveness, and big in the destiny that they determine.
All right.
Amen. So we first focus on the most important word, and that word is come. In this simple statement, the greatest of principles is implied.
All right.
The principle demands and explains what is known in theological terms as the incarnation.
Yes, sir.
That is, the Word became flesh.
Amen.
Every great truth, every revolution that has blessed and uplifted mankind, amen, did not get its force as a mere abstract proposition.
All right.
It needed behind it a strong, determined personality.
Yeah.
An incarnation in which it could, amen, find actual living expression. Amen. And that's why the Word of God is a living, amen, document. Amen. It is living. It's breathing. Amen. And so it found its expression, its living expression. And me in a field with a surge of power and kindled with compelling enthusiasm, when they go forth, not for abstract purpose,
all right,
but for a person, a leader, a Lord. Amen. Yeah. It's under the stress of this truth. It was necessary for Jesus to come to earth.
Amen.
It was necessary that Christ, amen, should come to man.
Yes.
And so as a man, our Lord understood that human character is formed not by means of abstract, amen, religious teaching or the presentation of philosophical principles, but through the concrete display of truth.
Yes, sir.
You might be wondering, what is truth? That's what Pilate, he asked Jesus, what is truth? Jesus said, I am truth. And it was declared in John chapter 14 when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
That's it.
And so consequently, Jesus, amen, emptied himself,
yes, sir,
of divine power and glory.
Yes.
In Philippians chapter 2, that's what's known as the kenosis passage in the Bible, where he emptied himself. He voluntarily emptied himself of his power and his glory.
Yeah.
And he came to earth.
Amen.
To seek and to save the lost.
All right.
Hence we read in Hebrews, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood,
amen,
he also likewise took part of the same.
Yes, sir.
And so we also read, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin,
all right,
that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you even begin to articulate, begin to think, begin to imagine,
sir,
to allow to come across the vista of your imagination, amen, why Jesus came and what he gave up,
uh-huh,
to come and die in your place?
Amen.
The Son of Man is come.
All right.
It was a divine necessity. It was an imperative that he would come.
Yes, sir.
Because without the coming of Christ,
come on.
You and I would be miserable and lost individuals.
Yes, sir.
Jesus was required in the flesh.
Yes.
To save the souls for heaven's home.
All right.
Now, he had to come in the flesh. He had to be both God and man.
Yes, sir.
That's the hypostatic union of Christ. He was both God and man, not half man and half God.
Right.
God sometimes and man sometimes, but the God-man.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. He had to set an example in the flesh so that you and I would follow, and we wouldn't be walking around talking about, well, he's a God. Can't nobody do what he did. And so he came in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
To set an example for you and I, that we would follow that example. Amen.
Amen.
And so now that the Son of Man is come,
mm-hmm,
but for what?
All right.
Why? Well, that's the next word.
Yes, sir.
He comes to seek. He comes to seek.
Yes, sir.
This expression sets before us a vivid picture of our soul seeking God.
Amen.
The human race, amen, you and I, the human race with this pathetic, heathen, bruised, diseased, superstitious, and miserable soul can't find God.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine that? We can't find God. God must find us.
Amen.
My wife asked the other day, and she was rhetorically asking this question, seek the Lord while he may be found. And she asked, was God lost?
Right.
And it wasn't the fact that God was lost, but the fact that he's available.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Only for a limited
time.
Period of time.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There, for.
Yes, sir.
And you can't find it.
Amen.
Because your time has run out.
Amen.
And so I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in here, but you may know somebody.
Yes, sir.
That may be waiting till tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Waiting later to make that decision. Well, I come to tell you that tomorrow may never come.
Right.
But God came to find us.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I don't understand. Amen. I don't know if you fully understand how the Lord had to condescend himself. And that's what he did by coming to us.
All right.
We ought to be the one looking up to him.
Yes, sir.
Going to him. But he came down to find us.
Yes, sir.
That our souls might be saved. So Jesus comes to seek.
Amen.
How blessed is it that the Father had sent the missionary of the cross,
yes,
to tell our hungry souls of the one true living God who seeks us.
Amen.
And wants to understand that he is a God of love.
Yes, sir.
Wisdom and kindness. God wants you to know him in an intimate way.
Yes, sir.
Can I get a witness here? Amen. 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a letter that God has left for us.
All right. That's right.
Where he self discloses himself.
Yeah.
Right.
He tells us about himself. Otherwise, we could not know him apart from him instructing us about him. So he wants us to know that he's a God of love, wisdom, and kindness.
Amen.
And he does not desire that any should perish.
Amen.
That's right.
But that all should come, amen, unto eternal life. And so in the parable of the woman and the lost coin, Jesus puts it ever so clearly.
Yes, sir.
What woman having 10 pieces of silver?
All right.
If she loses one piece, mm-hmm, doeth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it. She takes everything out of the house.
All right.
Yeah. Place all the furniture out on the lawn and,
yeah,
begin to sweep out the house until she finds that one coin.
Amen.
Well, that's the way God executes his love.
Yes.
Right. Not an angry God who must be begged to save man, but a soul-seeking God,
yeah,
who is ready and eager to save.
Amen.
You got some folk who got this warped ideology that since God is a God of love and he wouldn't do anything bad to folk, and he certainly wouldn't send anybody to hell,
right,
if he's a God of love.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says it's not God that sends us to hell. It's ourselves that sends us there when we don't believe in the only begotten Son. It's your choice.
Clear it up, clear.
You can make up your mind today. You can tell your friends, you can tell your loved ones that they can make up their mind today to accept the Lord.
All right.
And spend eternity, amen, with God.
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus wasn't satisfied to merely teach this principle.
All right.
He put it in concrete form.
Yes.
In the Gospel of John, there's an excellent illustration,
right,
of how Jesus seeks man.
Hmm.
The Bible says that Jesus went up to Jerusalem,
yeah, yeah,
to a feast of the Jews. And Jerusalem had many, many places of historical interest,
all right,
for one to visit. But none of these seemed to appeal to Jesus.
Hmm.
Instead, the Bible says he showed up at the pool of Bethesda.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. A place where it was 5 porches, amen, and 5 in the Bible is the number for grace and mercy, and on which there lie a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, and withered. He went to this place, amen, because Jesus was seeking somebody. He was seeking a man who would leave the pool at Bethesda rejoicing over his own restoration and deliverance.
Okay.
Amen. Jesus said, do you want to walk?
Yeah.
The man said, every time I try to get in the pool,
yeah,
somebody jumps in front of me, because there had been a rumor circulating that the first one that got in the pool was healed. And the man said, I can't get there,
yeah,
because they beat me. So I didn't ask you any of that.
Right.
He said, do you want to be be, yeah?
Yeah.
In the water.
Yeah.
You know, God is wanting to do some great things for us. He's wanting to do more for you than you can ever ask or imagine. And when he's talking to you, you're trying to tell him all kind of other stuff. And all he wants to know, do you want to be me?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. In the Gospel of Luke, we see a picture of a seeking Savior approaching 10 miserable so-so outcasts who are standing far off from the rest of the Galilean crowd.
Yeah.
The crowds were all around Jesus, but there were 10 men.
All right.
They had to stand at a distance.
Yes, sir.
Theirs is a perpetual exile. Never able to feel the embrace of their wives or their children.
All right.
Oh, they couldn't nobody approach them. To all who would approach them, they had to beat upon their chest and ring a bell and cry out, unclean.
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 Yeah.
Because they were lepers.
Yes, sir.
They couldn't come in contact. But Jesus sees them. He hears them. He seeks them. The ill Christ has ever listened to the cry of the helpless. So he comes and he seeks.
Amen.
And he's still seeking today. Through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through the saints of God, through the church.
Yeah.
We must follow his example.
All right.
Can we get a witness here?
Yes.
Jesus is still seeking.
Amen.
Yes.
Crying out, saying, come on, ye that labor.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And I have a laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Can we get a witness here?
Yes.
Now we come to that important word.
Yes, sir.
Save.
All right.
In order to save man,
yes,
Jesus had to do three things.
Preach.
Number one, he must give man a new conception of God.
All right.
He must present to man God's feeling and attitude toward man. See, the world was estranged from God.
Yeah.
Man was sullen and obstinate.
All right.
And in order to save man, Jesus must get men to see God in a new light.
Yes, sir.
Men thought God to be autocratic and severe.
All right.
They thought God to be a detached divinity.
Yeah.
They thought God was unknowable.
All right.
And so before men would yield his soul to God, he had to understand that God cares for.
Yeah.
And he wants the soul. He does not desire that any should perish. God longs to what's on the inside.
Yeah.
He wants what's inside the banana peel.
Right.
He don't want the peel, but he wants the banana.
Yes, sir.
Help me, Holy Ghost. So many of us spend so much time on the exterior.
Yes, sir.
Trying to fix up the outside.
Yeah.
We spend thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars trying to look good.
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost. You know we black folk gonna spend some money trying to look good. If we can't buy nothing else, help me, Holy Ghost. We going to the beauty shop. Can I get a witness here? We getting makeup. We getting fixed up.
Yeah.
We buy nice clothes because we want to look good.
Yeah.
But I come to tell you, God is not concerned about how you look.
Yeah.
But God is concerned about what's on the inside.
Yeah.
Gotta get a witness here.
Yeah.
We spend $50 for a $50 hat to put on a 50 cent head. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Because we are not worth anything.
Yes, sir.
If you boil us down to the bare minerals that make up this body, we might be worth $15.
Yes, sir.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yes,
God is concerned about the inside.
Come on, man.
So the Lord looks first. The Lord's first task was to get man to see God as great, wise, compassionate, and a loving father.
All right.
A father who is personally interested in each living soul.
That's right.
Do you not know God wants to be intimately involved with you? Can I get a witness here? He wants to know what you think. Not that he needs to be informed of what you're thinking, but it don't hurt to tell God how you feel.
Yes, sir.
Even if it's not feeling good, you can let him know about that.
Amen.
If you're angry at somebody, you can tell God about that. God knows about it. He understands.
Amen.
He wants to be intimately involved with you. So for Jesus to save man, secondly, he had to teach that man needed a savior.
All right.
He had to teach that man needed a savior. See, some of us don't think we need saving.
You're right.
We think we already got it going on, and amen. I don't know if you know where you're going when we say that, but some of us don't think we need saving.
Look at that.
That's why Jesus came.
Yes, sir.
Because you needed a savior.
Yeah.
And so to accomplish this, Jesus stressed the value of the human soul. The soul is important. He taught that our souls were immortal and precious in the sight of God.
Yeah.
You may not believe it or not, but you're going somewhere.
All right.
Gotta get a witness here. And I'm not talking about the Golden Gate.
Yeah.
After they get through with you, or even before they get through with you.
All right.
When breath leaves this body, you're going somewhere. Heaven or hell. No purgatory. Nowhere in between heaven or hell. Let me explain it to you this way. From birth, there will never be a time that you go on living somewhere.
All right.
I'll let y'all think about this.
I got it.
From birth, there will never be a time that you don't go on living.
All right.
When Jesus hung on the cross and cried out, Eli, Eli, and I'm about to die.
Yes, sir.
My God, why has thou forsaken you?
Yeah.
I was not. When George Washington and his men marched across Valley Forge.
Yes, sir.
Drip red blood on white snow.
Yeah.
I was not.
Yeah.
When Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yes, sir.
I was not.
All right.
But there never will be a time.
Yeah.
From the moment I was born that I won't go on living somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
He taught that the devil was eager to possess and damn us to eternal hell.
Amen.
He educated man as to the reason and motives for accepting the Father's invitation.
Yes, sir.
Then thirdly, he had to teach by example.
All right.
The necessity of the cross of Calvary.
All right.
Man's mind might be reached through the abstract, but his heart would not be moved. A hard appeal had to be made only by the only innocent victim.
Yes, sir.
The only innocent volunteer.
Yeah.
The only innocent vicar that was available.
Right. Yes.
And that is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus died on the cross to make atonement.
Yes, sir.
To satisfy the law.
Yeah.
And to open a way back to God's heart.
All right.
How much love for us to give his only begotten son.
Yeah.
This is vital, convincing, and the drawing power of Calvary's rugged cross.
All right.
But as I hear it to a close, we see Jesus hanging on the cross.
Yeah.
Wounded for our transgression.
Yeah.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Yeah.
Isaiah said, with his stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when we read that he was stricken,
right,
smitten of God and afflicted,
yeah,
bearing the sins of men,
yeah,
and make an intercession for our transgressions. We realize that all this was done for our salvation.
Yes, sir.
Jesus cries aloud with an infinite love of God for the soul of mankind. The cross of Christ offers the highest and most complete manifestation of the love of God. The Bible says God so loved the world.
Amen.
That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's the word.
Can only be understood in its full strength and power.
Yes, sir.
As we stand with Mary and the other women near the foot of the cross.
All right.
As they watched him die.
Yeah.
I heard Jesus say to his mother and to say to John, behold thy mother.
Yes, sir.
And woman, behold thy son.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about himself.
All right.
But he was talking about John.
Yeah.
Four women and one man.
Yeah.
Stood beneath the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
Everybody else had run off and left him to die all alone.
Yeah.
Witnessing the greatest demonstration of God's unspeakable love.
Yes, sir. Right.
So Jesus comes to seek and to save. But lastly, who did he come to save? Just as a shivering and cold man must come to the fire to get warm. A starving man must come to the table, and benefit from the food. Man's lost soul must come to Christ in order to be saved. He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. So my question today, are you lost? Or do you know somebody who is lost? That don't know Jesus in the pardon of their sin. Have not come to him and say, Lord, here am I.
Yes, sir.
Save me. There might be somebody here.
All right.
Just like Zacchaeus. That heard about Jesus. Can I get a witness here?
Yes, sir.
He heard that Jesus was passing by. I'm going to give them back fourfold. Help me, Holy Ghost. How many of you know when the Lord comes into your life? Saved, if you be honest with others, you would tell them when the Lord saved you, a change came over me. Hallelujah. Is that right? When there was sadness, you put joy. Is that all right? The joy of salvation. Today is a mighty good day. To find out exactly what it means. And sometimes we are guilty of using religious jargon that people who don't know the Lord don't fully understand. Sometimes we just got to get back to the basics. Tell them like grandma. Christ, I'll die. Join us.
us and come to know the joy that the Lord is able to provide. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that
today, but I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost told me that everything is going to be all right. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, if you believe it, you ought to say it. God bless each of you. May his spirit keep you.